is right when the choice is really hard. Choose right, keep following the Lord. If your two choices are right and wrong, then just remember this little song. If you love Jesus, keep his commands. On his example is where you make your stand. Choose right when the sun is shining bright. Choose right in the deepest, darkest night. Choose right when the choice is really hard. Choose right, keep following the Lord. Choose right when the sun is shining bright. Choose right in the deepest, darkest night. Choose right when the choice is really hard. Choose right, keep following the Lord.
Perfect song for this evening. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. On a personal note, I'd like to thank you for praying for my family as we traveled up to Michigan last Thursday and traveled back from Michigan on Friday. It was an eventful time, but God provided. Some of you saw pictures, some of you laughed, some of you felt sorry, but God provided. So the service went really good too. I held it together. Some of you were probably praying for that, so I didn't cry the entire time, but it went very well. The gospel was presented clearly, and I was encouraged by afterwards several coming up to me and saying, I have chosen what Christ has offered. And who knows if it was on that day or if it was beforehand, but it just encourages you when people are confident enough to come and tell you that they are a child of God. And I love it. I didn't know him from Adam, but yet they were appreciating what God has done in their lives. And the hope that they have. So be in prayer for the family. Like many of you know, it was a tough one. The mother lost her daughter last fall and then her son this year. And so she is really having a tough time. So I'm just praising God. She was one of the ones that I was concerned about because they have a heavy Catholic background. She came up to me and she says, now my son and I talked about good deeds and how they don't measure up to what God wants from us. We need Christ. And she says, I've chosen that. And that just reassured me of her. And she even encouraged me in saying, I see a little bit of light in the midst of this darkness right now. And so I was just super encouraged by that. So just keep in prayer for the family. And any of those connected that heard the gospel, I do believe that the word will not return void, and there could be even fruit that comes later on, and so just keep praying. But as we get into this today, the path diverges. We see what has happened. In the context, we understand that Jacob and Esau no longer like each other. In fact, Esau really hates his brother to the point where he's ready to kill him. And he might hold off on that for the time being, but he's emotional enough to be led by those emotions to follow up with killing his brother. And Rebecca realizes that something needs to happen here, so she's made a plan with Isaac, and that's the only thing that they've agreed on in this whole scenario in dealing with Jacob and Esau and passing on the blessing. And so this is something that they've come to the point where Jacob is now going to have to split. there's going to be an understanding and there's going to be a big choice here. And is Jacob going to choose what's right? And tonight we see that. But yet he's also got a decision to face in the future. If he's going to leave where he's at, then he needs to be able to come back. And is he going to choose right in the future? Just like Caitlin was just singing, choose right. If you love Jesus, choose right. Okay? That is so important. And continually choose right. Don't do it for a while and then start choosing wrong. Choose right continually. And I don't want to say it from a selfish perspective. You know, it's really tough preaching a funeral of a Christian who has decided that they no longer want to choose what's right. Okay? But it's not my selfishness that should motivate you in dealing with your funeral, or pastors dealing with your funeral to well, if he's going to have a good funeral, I better start doing right. No. Do right because God says so. Do right because you love Jesus. You know, that's the best way to show your faith. Trust and obey. And so this is a path that's going to be continual that we need to hold on to. And we're going to be talking about obedience tonight. But this is so, so very important as we jump into this. But the paths will diverge here. So at first, we're going to jump into the path of obedience. The path of obedience, starting in verse number 1. And we'll read through this here. The path of obedience. And Isaac called Jacob. So Jacob's still around. He hasn't left yet. And he blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. So Isaac knows the deed that Jacob had done and the deception that he's used. And he comes in and he reaffirms a blessing. But he says, listen, I don't want you to get a wife from here. Your mom and I have made this decision. You need to go back to get a wife. I don't want you to have one from Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. So if you're seeing what's happening here, you recognize some of these terms. We've seen this covenant before, this blessing, this that God has promised to Abraham has been passed down to Isaac, and now Isaac is reaffirming that this is passing down to Jacob. But he says you have to come back to the land where you are a stranger. Why? You know, because their homeland is where he's going to be going to find a wife, but he has to come back because this is where God has placed us. Do you think this is going to be difficult for Jacob? Oh, yeah. And in fact, we will see that he will get stuck there in the homeland for quite a few years due to deception and manipulation, right? The family's really good at this. This is like their gift. This is not a spiritual gift, by the way. Okay? This is like the opposite of a spiritual gift. But he says, listen, you need to be able to come back to where God says, this is where we're supposed to be. This is where God has provided. But for the time being, I need you to go back to the homeland to get a wife. And Isaac sent away Jacob in verse 5, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. Now, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. Now, as we're talking about this, we do see that Jacob actually obeys his father and his mother. We see this in verse number 7. It's right in front of you to where you could see that he has, in obedience, not only obeyed his favorite mother, but the one who isn't his favorite and who doesn't call him a favorite, his father. He obeys them. Now, does he do this based on his love for God or his obedience to God, or is he just doing this in obedience to his parents? Now, if you look back at chapter 27, okay, and you're going to have to look in your Bibles because I didn't put it up on the screen. So you're going to have to do a little bit of work here. And when we go back to verse number 20, when Isaac is talking to him about how he got the meal so quickly, remember this, when he drove a wedge spiritually by saying, it says, "And Isaac said to his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, behold, the Lord thy God brought it to me." You notice that little modifier there before God? Thy God. Are you cheating, Carlton? I told him that they had to work. Look at that. Put it right in front of you. All right? You get to look up at the screen now. Okay? Thy God. Does he actually acknowledge God's presence in their life? Well, you can see it by his actions, his unbelief, where he took God and he used his name in vain, and we referenced that last week. But you come down to this point of understanding that, is he obeying because of what he believes about God, or is he just obeying because he recognizes the authority that's been placed over him? And this is interesting because we have children, I have children that aren't saved. You might have children that aren't saved. Or that they weren't saved at some point in time, because we all know that they did not inherit salvation at birth. And so what do we have to do in order to help them understand the authority structure in life is to train them obedience. Train them in obedience. Even though they might not respect God, we start training them and start telling them, listen, I have been placed in authority over you. You need to obey my commands, my imperatives here. I want you to obey those things. And listen, because I believe in God and because God has placed me in authority over you, listen, you respect and obey me based on your respect and obedience to God. And we start diving into those connections as a parent, even though they really don't understand the reality of God just yet. And yet, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Now, Jacob, in this sense, he ends up choosing obedience. He goes and he goes off to the land. He starts heading out in obedience to his father and mother. Why does he need a wife from the homeland rather than in the land that they are in the midst of? Well, we understand the fact that God doesn't want Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau to take on the identity of those that are around them. And what happens when you start marrying those that are around you? You start taking on those identities. Things start to mix. And then all of a sudden, the identity factor of where God said, listen, Abraham, the way that you're going to identify and know that you are my people, all of the males are going to be circumcised. Well, if you bring in someone that's in the land that believes totally differently and loves to, a lot of the people in the land started mixing all of these religions. They were okay with that. Listen, that can start affecting and influencing the family. And so he says, hey, listen, I don't want you to take from this land. I want you to go back to the land. And Jacob obeyed. He obeyed. Now remember, this obedience is not just a one-time thing, but an understanding that Jacob is going to need to obey later on. If this blessing is going to take effect, he has to come back. There was a couple of things that I noticed about this passage in relation to obedience that I think a lot of us can understand. Not only the fact that even if they don't respect God and understand him, we still need to be teaching obedience. But you know, obedience in dealing with Jacob was not based on Isaac and Rebecca being perfect parents. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about my child's obedience is not based on me getting it right all of the time? Maybe I can relate in this way. Same principle aligns in the sense of, let's say that Miles goes to work. He understands that his boss doesn't always do things correctly. Doesn't always have it all in hand. And his boss goes and tells him something to do, and he says, wait a minute, you're not very good at your job, so therefore I'm not going to obey you. I'm not going to follow suit. You say, where are you getting this principle from? Well, you know, in all that Isaac and Rebecca have done up till this point and showing their sin that is there, their methods of deception, their lying, their fear, their unbelief in God, and all of this, Jacob didn't respond and say, listen, I don't respect you because of how you fall short, and therefore I'm not going to obey you. He just needed to obey. Do we ever do that in our life where we look at the authority structure that's been put over us and we justify disobedience, we justify not doing what we're supposed to be doing because of the falling short of those that are in our authority? Do we ever justify our lack of obedience in that sense? I mean, as far as kids go in here, you know, my parents do this, so therefore, you know, I'm not going to obey them when they tell me not to do this. Listen, when we're in a scenario and God calls us to obedience in his word, it just needs to happen no matter what tool is being used in order to ask us to obey. Another thing that I was thinking of was that obedience was not based on perfect circumstances of my choosing. Have you ever been in a scenario where you really didn't like it, and so therefore, based on how you didn't like what was going on, therefore you justified your disobedience in that circumstance? Well, this is not the area of my choosing. This is not what I want out of life, and so then we justify that disobedience. This is the struggle that I'm facing. So in the midst of a trial, I'm struggling. So therefore, I can have and show an unbelief in my God because of the struggles that I'm facing. Because of the situation in dealing with parents, I can disobey them because, all these things are coming against me. And so I'm justified in that action. Listen, obedience needs to happen not based on who's relaying the orders. It's not based on the circumstances that I'm placed in, because God expects us to obey at all times. God expects for us to choose right at all times. On Thursday, at about 4:30, going on to about 7 o'clock, I was struggling to choose right. When all of a sudden you get a pop tire on the side of the interstate, and you got to change it on the side of the interstate, and nobody's pulling over, kind of freaks you out a little bit, doesn't it? And in those moments, the temptation to choose right and to not complain. Oh man, that was a struggle. But then when you show up to a place where you have an agreement with a certain store to fix a tire for free, and because they put them on, and then they tell you, oh, well, we can't do that, And by the way, you need to buy two tires. Oh, wait a minute. They put on the wrong size a few years ago. So now you need to buy four tires, but we've got to order them. So it's going to take a little while before these come in. You know, in my circumstances at that moment, my struggle to choose right was real. And I don't know if Keely remembers it, but I just started laughing. I got away from the personnel that I was working with, but I just started laughing. I said, this is the only way that I can respond to this. Otherwise, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And it's not these people's problem that I have this problem. It was somebody else that created this problem for them, and they're just doing what they're told. And I can either choose right and to obey God in this moment, or I can go and get carnal, which is super easy to do right now. You know, our choosing right is not based on our circumstances. It's not based on the tool that God uses, the person that God uses that does fall short of his glory that he's trying to use in order to help us in our obedience. We just need to obey. Another one is obedience at times involves stepping out on your own. If he was going to obey in this moment, Jacob would have to go out on his own. There would be no support system. He was done with that. If he was going to obey, he was going to have to set out on a journey by his lonesome and move to a place that he's never been. Can you imagine that? If we ask a teenager nowadays, I want you to take a journey. I want you to take a journey to St. Louis on your own. And I have a job for you, and you can't use your GPS, and you can't use a car. Okay, forget it being a teenager. If we ask an adult to do that, they'd be like, what is your problem? I'm not doing that. And yet he was being sent out on his own to go to a place that he hadn't been to do what he'd been called to do, to go find a wife that he'd never met. And yet in this moment, he had to go out on his own, and so he had to have faith. Now, I don't know how much faith he had in God in this moment, but he just obeyed. Obedience is not always easy. And you know, for us, for those of you that are in here that have chosen God, that have chosen salvation, that have put your faith in Jesus Christ, obedience always needs to be with God in view. Always. This afternoon, we went to a restaurant. And one of our children was having some struggles. You know what I'm talking about. Do you ever get embarrassed when one of your children, maybe in the past, have had some struggles in a restaurant and they get a little bit loud? And you want them to obey. Why? Because they're embarrassing you? Or do you want them to obey because God wants them to obey? Now, that's just a simple illustration where I've cast you out of the picture. I put it on someone else, but let's bring you into the picture. Do you obey just because you want to please someone else and get them off of your back? Do you just obey because you want to look good in front of these other people? Do you obey just because you want to please man? Or do you want to obey because you want to please God? And that's where, as a Christian, that needs to be what's in view. But you know, another path is discussed in this passage. This is the path of consequence. And so we jump in with Esau, and we're going to go back to verse number 6. And we read through this, but I want you to read through it again. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence. So Esau's watching this. Can you imagine how much self-control he's got to hold within him in this struggle as he's watching his father repeat through the blessing? And he's saying, listen, Isaac is blessing Jacob and he's sending him away. And that he blessed him. He gave him a charge. He wants him to obey this statement, that thou shalt take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And in verse 8, and Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. See what happened here? Do you see some motivation behind Esau and his struggle? And yet, what is he riding off of? Remember the context of when Jacob got the blessing from Isaac in the deception. Esau came in and he says, now I need to be blessed. And Isaac says, I've already given the blessing. I've got nothing left to give. And he says, please do something. And Isaac goes through and he's saying, listen, I'm going to bless you. And yet I'm hoping that you're going to supplant your brother. You're going to live by the sword. And so he's got this hope that maybe I can please dad and maybe I can do whatever I can to get back into his blessing. Maybe I can do whatever I can to fix this problem. He's getting pretty emotional right now. Do you ever lead yourself in your decisions by your emotions? If you based every decision, would you be very obedient to God if it was led by emotions? And this is where he's at. And so he goes in and he hears what Isaac is saying to his brother. And he understands that there is this charge. He doesn't want Esau and Jacob to have the wives from the area. And so he goes out and trying to please his father, not out of obedience because of God, what God stated, but in order just to please his father, he goes out and makes an emotional decision to go and to find another wife. Why do you say another? Because remember back in Genesis chapter 26 and verses 34 through 35, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. He has already made decisions in the past that he is feeling the consequences of, and yet he's trying to rush in order to please his dad. Emotionally, he's being led by his emotions to be able to try to correct what he had made in the past, but yet he is still reaping these consequences. Did it fix any of the issues? No. In fact, in moving in the way that he did, he didn't think about the very fact that Ishmael, who this new wife was gotten from, was separated from the fold to make a distinction of the unique people group that God had made this promise to. He had separated Ishmael and his people. He didn't want him to be mixed up into the group. And yet Esau, thinking, oh, well, they're part of the family, didn't think about that very factor. And so he's really not honoring what God wants, what his dad wants, what Abraham had wanted. He goes off and he still mixes again with those that are in the land. Those that really wouldn't honor God, those that really wouldn't follow after him. And so here we find a consequence, another consequence to his sin. How many times have we made rash decisions, emotional decisions in our anger that only led to more consequences? Isn't that what happens in our sin? When sin bears fruit, what is it? Consequences. You go over to death, for James, and it says that when it bears fruit, it gives birth to death. And so when we lead by, when we follow our emotions in this sense, listen, there will be consequence to every sin. And just because we want to change it because we're emotional and we don't want any part of it anymore, we still reap the consequences. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Have you ever sinned and wanted to get rid of it as soon as possible because you realize how much damage it has already done? You just want to get rid of it, but you're still eating the consequences? This is where he's at. This is where he's struggling. This is what he's going to be reaping because he already sowed the seed. And so when you're in this situation, listen, the paths are diverging here, but yet we find a man who is committed to obedience and doing what his father has asked, and another one who is just emotionally driven, falling into more and more sin that is not desired by God and is eating more and more of those consequences. Do you think it's helping his anger? The more and more consequences that he faces. Do you think it's helping him at all? In fact, often in our bitterness and in our struggles, we start blaming everybody else for all the things that we're dealing with, and we get into this victim mentality, thinking it was all of Jacob's fault that I have to deal with all of this. And you know, Esau had already started the domino effect back in, what was it, chapter 26. He started it way back when he didn't even respect his birthright, when he gave it away for a bowl of pottage. There's a domino effect going all the way back then, and he's still eating those consequences of his apathy, his anger, his bitterness, as he struggles all through this. And yet, another principle we find here, what we see, trying to please people always falls short. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever committed yourself to trying to please everybody? Trying to answer their call at any point, at any time. Have you ever tried that? Do you know you always fall short? Because you can never please everyone. And Esau in this moment, he's trying to please his dad. And yet we find here that when you're trying to please those that are around you, listen, you're going to fall short. This wasn't adequate. In fact, what was his motivation? Do you think it was to actually please people, or was he trying to please people for his own selfishness? Was this his selfishness that was motivating him to do all of these things? Yeah, we can back up all the way to that point of that bowl of pottage. Now, why did he choose that over his birthright? He was only thinking temporally. He was thinking about his own self. He wasn't thinking about the future. You go on, and he goes and he gets these wives from the land. Did he think about other people? Did he think about his family in this moment? Did he think about the future? No, he's only thinking of himself in that moment. When he gets angry and responds and wants to kill his brother, do you think he was thinking of other people? Do you think he was thinking about his brother in that moment in a positive light? No, he's only serving himself, and now he wants to get back in good light with his dad, and yet he still falls short because, listen, pleasing people for the sake of yourself is not biblical. It's not. And in fact, our basis for pleasing anyone is 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Listen, folks, I should never be motivated to ultimately please you. You should never be motivated ultimately to please me. Kids should not be motivated only to please their parents. Employees should not just be motivated to please their employers. And we should never be motivated to just please ourselves and our selfishness. We need to please God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do we do that in our marriages? Do we do that in the workplace? Do we do that in our families? Do we do that any place we go? You see that whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, it's even in the base things, the things that we need to do every single day, do it all for God's glory. We obey because of God. Husbands, we love our wives because of God, for his glory. Not because they deserve it, but because of God and his glory. Wives, respect their husbands' submission. Why? Because they deserve it? No, because of God's glory. Because of God. Children, obey their parents. Because their parents are perfect and they deserve it? No. Because of God's glory. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is what it has to come down to. What is your motivation? What is my motivation? What is my motivation to live life? Is it an obedience because of God, or is it obedience because I'm trying to get myself somewhere in my selfishness? Remember, what we sow, we will reap. And we shouldn't be upset when we reap the consequences of our sin. Make sure your motivator is God. Make sure the motivator behind your obedience is God. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your truths here tonight to choose right in the deepest, darkest night. Choose right no matter God. That we may obey because of you. God, help us in our emotions that we don't follow those, but we follow you. May we be changed by thy truth. In fact, as was stated in Scripture, sanctify us with your truth, your word. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you. In Jesus' name, amen.